rise. That's right, let's go. When the voices arise from the storm and it's storming. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is your boy James, a.k.a. Hollywood J. Black, live in the building once again, back with the Overtime Sports Show. It is a wonderful Monday morning for y'all. By the time you get this, it is still, we're late on Sunday getting this one in, making sure that it drops on Monday. I was waiting for my NHL and MLB experts to come in. They have a couple of projects. One of them is getting prepared for a wedding, so something changed. You know how it goes. It happens. My one expert is still on the road, so I know I promised y'all an NHL and MLB update show. I don't have it right now, but that's okay. I may do a little something special in the middle of the week, possibly drop it on Thursday or something like that. Maybe Thursday evening. We'll see how it goes. But it's okay because there's plenty of NBA and Major League Baseball to talk about. We also had the Mayweather fight with Logan Paul. We had the UFC fight with Adesanya getting it on in the main event. Diaz doing a little flurry thing is now internet famous once again. So there's plenty to talk about, plenty on the docket. So don't you worry. This is going to be a nice, fun show. It's going to be about an hour or so. We got a few topics to talk about. So don't stress, don't fret. We got you covered. So no worries. So you know how we got to pay some bills around here. I know you get tired of hearing the commercials, but guess what? I got to pay some damn bills. So check out the commercial. Let's pay some damn bills. We're going to get right at this thing. Holla at your boy. Pay the bills. Have we paid the bills yet? The bills is paid? You sure? All right, man. Make sure. Let's go. This has to be the greatest theme of basketball of all time. There is no other theme that can ever top this. That's why I love playing it. And you know what time it is. It is NBA playoff time. There's a lot to talk about in NBA playoff land, y'all. We're in the conference semifinals. This has probably been some of the most exciting conference semifinals in a minute. And I'm not, I mean, even though we probably have a potential sweep going down tonight, it's about to get really real. Right now, I heard the word is Kyrie Irving just got hurt about an hour ago. He's out. We got the Suns and the Nuggets. Phoenix trying to do the sweep tonight. By the time the next podcast drop, who knows when the heat is going to go down? Who knows what the hell is going to go happen there? The Hawks got the jump on Philly. Trae Young wasn't to be fooled with. But the Sixers have revamped, restacked, and reacted. They're up 2-1. The Jazz thought they were going to sweep the Clippers. But nah, the Jazz is back. The Clippers are back. The Bucks stomping out the Nets. This thing gonna be end up tied 2-2 without Kyrie, man. I don't know what the hell is gonna happen. The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry, as they say. That's all I can really say. But hopefully they can figure out this thing. I'm hoping they figure out this thing. But let's talk about it all right here. Right here on Sinful Black. Let's do it. Let's get it, baby. Jam out. Oh, man. You gots to love it. Oh, boy. All right. Let's get right into it, y'all. Let's get right into it. All right. NBA up next. Listen, man. I really thought that we was going to have ourselves a nice little lit-ass series with Atlanta and Philly. And I don't know if you could tell the disappointment in my voice, but we just watched Philadelphia just absolutely dominate the last two games. Trae Young and them boys in Atlanta, they ain't scared. And that's great, right? You better not be scared. Ain't no time for fear, right? But at the same time, there's definitely a disconnect. Because listen, they got a long way to go. I hate to break it to my boys, but they got a long way to go. They just don't have the depth. And you would think that with Lou Williams leading the second unit, that they'd be right and ready to go, and they're not. They are absolutely freaking not, man. I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm trying to sort that thing out. Like, I'm really wanting for this thing to go to seven, but the only way that this thing goes to seven, or at least Atlanta maybe win, is if they got to at least win the next game, at the least. If they can't get any headway or make it at least competitive in game four in Atlanta, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Because Philly's not going to lose another one in Philly. That's just, it ain't going to go down. I'm sorry. For ATL fans, you know, old school diehard Hawks fans, it's just not going to happen. If they don't win tomorrow, you got to say bye to Atlanta, bro. Like, that's it. That's it. And y'all think I'm just hating? No, I love the Hawks. I love Trae Young and his poise, his fearlessness, and a way that he just takes over and dominates. It's just, man. That's just the way it is, bro. And like, but Philly, bro. Like you see, they went down to the Cork Maz was balling. That's how serious this shit was. My man's Cork Maz was balling the F out. For reals, like it's not even a game, bro. And somehow, some way, it's. I don't know. Atlanta's gonna have to figure out something. They're gonna have to figure out the way to stop Embiid. The big problem now that they have is that they got to deal with Embiid for the majority of the minutes, and then they got to deal with Dwight Howard for the rest of those minutes. And if they go with a small ball lineup, Tobias Harris is playing the same. They can't deal with that. Clint Capella is great, but he has not done it against Embiid, bro. He has not. He hasn't. He hasn't. Like, y'all, I hope y'all don't want to sit here and think I'm hating. I'm just not. I'm not hating at all. Because let's go back. Hawks game one, it was, Capella had 10 rebounds, but he only had 11 points. He got shut down, bro. He got shut down. In that same game, Joel Embiid had 39-9. And the Hawks won by 4. The problem was they couldn't get much out of their second unit. That was the key. They couldn't get much out of their second unit. Three of their second unit went blanks, put up blank numbers. Blanks, yo. You can't do that. I'm talking about the Sixers. And that's how the Hawks won that game. They went down to the nines and the tens. And my man's, they even had, you know, they had Lou Wills and Herders and all of that. Four cats in the starting lineup, had double digits. Herder came off the bench, dropped double digits. And, you know, he's a sniper. He came in and balled out. But then game two was a different story. Game two, Sixers came in and said, nah, we ain't having none of this mess no more. They shut down Collins. They shut down Hill. Capella put up the same numbers. I mean, 10 and 8. I mean, it is what it is. Boggy, he put up 14 and 7. Trae Young, he put up 21 and 11. Herter even dropped 20, and Gallinari dropped 21. They didn't have Gallinari didn't even do ish in the first game. Not much. Lou Will played 15 minutes, didn't do a goddamn thing, 6 points. Meanwhile, Shake effing Milton. Seth Curry dropped 21, Embiid dropping 40, Tobias Harris dropping 22. Ben Simmons played 35 minutes, didn't even do shit, and they still won by 16. Dwight Howard. There was even a wild George Hill sighting. Game three not looking any better. Game three was looking bad. They won by 16 again. Tobias Harris dropped 22. Embiid 27. Ben Simmons 18. Curry dropped 12. Korkmaz with the 14 pointer. Dwight Howard dropped 12. They got 47 minutes out of the center position. And they probably went drop small once they knew that ass whooping was done. It's sad, man. Hawks is they got to figure out what they want to do. Like I'm dead serious. They need to figure out how they want to play this game because they can't figure out a way to stop Embiid. That's the key. They got to put hands on Embiid. Something, you know, you can't even hack him because he's a good free throw shooter. I don't even have a strategy. I don't even have a game plan. They just got to – the key to winning – I hate to say this. This is an ironic phrase. But the key to winning this game is the Hawks have to score more points than the Philadelphia 76ers. That's just really got to be it. If Embiid dropped 40, Trae Young got to drop 50. Just saying. That's the only way they're going to win this game. Or win this series anyway. Otherwise, Embiid just going to dominate in the paint. And Embiid got a shot. And B making people, he can drop it from 20 feet with no problem. Give that man a look. He going to drop it. He can work in the paint. He can dominate. They're letting Embiid be Embiid, and it's just absolutely bonkers. And Trae Young hasn't put up a super game in a minute. Like, he hasn't been like, I know he's trying, but his team ain't hitting them shots, man. They need to hit some shots. Like, real shit. They really need to hit some fucking shots. There are not. N-O-T, not hitting shots. In other news, the Bucks just got done tying up the series. My man Kyrie Irving is injured. He played 17 minutes, hurt his knee, grabbed his leg. It sucks, man. And when I tell you that they were on their way, like, I think they could have probably went up 3-1 had Kyrie not got hurt. Now they're tied 2-2. Giannis is in MVP form. Now Drew Holiday ain't got a high-caliber guard to stop him. He can actually control the offense now. Brooke Lopez has got numbers. Man, it's going to be if Kyrie and James Harden are out for the next two games, it's a wrap. I'm going to tell you right now, Durant cannot win this series by himself. They don't have enough talent. Yes, you got Bad Blake. Okay, fine. You got Bad Blake. Maybe. But you ain't got nobody else. You really ain't got nobody else. Who's going to come in to run point? My man's Browns going to come in? No. Tyler Johnson? No. Luanu Cabarro? No. Chiozza? No. Mike James? He played the 20 minutes, but I don't think he's going to – he ain't going to put up Kyrie numbers. They got problems. Meanwhile, the Bucks are like – they're trying to show what's up. We waiting for that inevitable Bucks Philly matchup. That's what they say. They say we want Philly. we want to see the offensive matchup between Brooke Lopez and Joel Embiid. Because don't get it twisted. Brooke Lopez got a shot. He got a nice little 20-footer. He got a little 15, 20-footer. Shake, 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 boom. That's how he remember, with the Lopez's, when the Lopez's came around, Robin is the defense, Brooke is the offense. And that's how they go. That is how that team rolls. I mean, them brothers go. They ain't on the same team. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying. But that reality is about to set in real fast. That when you stack a team, so high on the when you get three max players and you stack them so high to the ceiling, and you ain't got no really decent bench players to fuck with, it's bad, man. This is bad. I feel bad for Brooklyn, man. I feel bad for Kyrie. You know what I'm saying? He was, you know, basically they're about to run away with the chip. He might be gone. James Harden hamstring ain't up to the task for the next couple games. You better kiss Brooklyn bye-bye. Bye-bye, Brooklyn. Bye-bye. It's sad, though, because I wanted to see what that stack lineup would do against a team like the Clippers or a team like the Suns, because we already know that's where this one's headed. Because we're going to talk about this Jazz-Clippers series in a second, but it's about to be bad. But Bucks and Philly, if that premonition comes true, that's going to be freaking bonkers. I couldn't even tell you how bonkers that's going to be, bro. I couldn't even flip and tell you, but it's going to be bonkers. It's going to be bonkers. Bonkers. So, that's enough of me singing. Let's talk about, as we said, we're going to talk about it. We got to talk about it. Clippers, Jazz. Thought the Jazz was going to run away with this one. I really thought. I don't think so. It's going to go to seven. And I think the unfortunate situation is that they're going to grind it out. It's going to go to seven. I think the Clippers are going to win it. They see the opening now. They found the way to isolate everybody else. I mean, Reggie Jackson has found a decent matchup at the guard position now. They know that Conley's not going to come back for a minute. Mitchell's going to ball out, though. Mitchell's going to ball out. He's going to prove himself. Gobert's going to ball out. But the fact is that Ingles, Clarkson, and Bogdanovich, that squad, isn't gonna do it. Royce O'Neal is mopping the floor with Morris, hand over foot. But that small ball lineup that the Clippers are running with Batum at the center at 6'8", 6'9", I believe, that lineup is something sick. Zubac is a liability. Zubac cannot even come close to messing with Gobert. Not on any day, and that's why they made the switch. See, Batum is a little shiesty mofo. So what they've been doing, if you've noticed in the games, they've been switching off Batum and Morris on Gobert. Like sometimes Batum will play Gobert because they're around that same height. Sometimes Morris will play that same height. So it's really just been one of those weird matchups that seemingly work. I mean, Gobert's getting rebounds, but he's not getting points. And that's kind of where you need to be at. You need points to win a game, and that's what happened in this last game. If they can really kind of just hold off Gobert and keep him frustrated on defense and not allow him to just kind of dominate, they just might have the Clippers can do it. The Clippers have the talent to do it, but with Batum in there, they were able to do it. So expect Batum to play the rest of the series as a starter. Zubac to come off the bench. Because Zubac, as long as I like Zubac's, they really should have never got rid of Montrezl Harrell and kept Zubac. They really needed Trez. They really needed Trez. And they really needed Trez to be the starter. This is just, but I mean, Batum is doing his thing. Batum and Morris are with that switch off. It's been bonkers. Batum still got some left in the tank too. Don't get it twisted. And he's gonna take Gobert away from the rim because they got Royce O'Neal and Morris and O'Neal have been going hand, battling. But Royce O'Neal's been beating the matchup, whatever. But it's been nice though. That matchup has been nice. But Clippers might have it. Clippers might take it in seven. I think so. That's kind of where my mind is at. Clippers are going to take this one in seven. But I could be wrong, though. If I damn wrong, that means if I'm wrong, that means that Mitchell stepped the hell up and Conley probably came back. That's the only way that Utah keeps this. If Conley comes back a little earlier, then Utah probably runs away with it. Everything's up to Mike Conley. That's what it comes down to. And in that one. And so finally, we come to the big money matchup. Oh, I love saying that because it's just been an absolute niggas brought the brooms out for this one. It's sad because, like, I love Phoenix. I love Phoenix, and I want at the same time, I want the series to go to seven. I don't want my mans to get swept up out the thing. I really don't want that to happen. But it looks like it's going to happen. It looks like it's really going to happen. And that's sad. It makes me sad. It's just, I don't know. Denver, you can't have the MVP getting swept out the playoffs, bro. But this is all because, let me tell you why this is. And I don't know if you sympathizers are going to, you Denver sympathizers are going to be mad at me when I say this, is that y'all had Campazzo going against Chris Paul and Chris Paul mopping his ass. It ain't a good look. It ain't a good look at all. Ah, me so sorry. It's, oh my God, this is so bad. Like, Chris Paul has been absolutely dominating his matchup. And when they've tried to put another shooting guard on there, they've tried to put Austin Rivers, that was even worse. So they brought Monte Morris off the bench. Monte Morris has actually been able to score at the point guard position. He hasn't put up stellar numbers. But listen, but the secret weapon right now, it's to the point where they benched Austin Rivers. Finally, Will Barton is back in the lineup. Anybody thinks like, oh, it's Will Barton. He ain't shit. No, Will Barton was the starter, the original starter at the shooting guard. Will Barton is that dude. You give him some room and Will Barton at the shooting guard position is going to be something else. But D-Book is on another level. Ayton ain't really had to do much at the center position. I mean, he can't really do shit against Jokic. Jokic going to get his 20, his 10, and his 10. He's the MVP. He's the best center in the league by far for a reason. He's going to get his 20, 10, and 10. Maybe even 30 if you keep playing around. But that point guard matchup has been absolutely murdering. I couldn't even tell you how bad this Look up the numbers. Look up the numbers. Only Monte Morris has had any kind of success against Chris Paul, and that's not like overt success, but it's to the point where they're about to start Monte Morris and start Will Barton because without Jamal Murray, man, no Jamal Murray. That's sad, bro. Like Denver had a nice little run up until no Jamal Murray. I will tell you that right now. I just wish that they find a way. They got to figure out something, man. They got to figure out something. And they ain't figured out nothing yet. But we'll see. We'll see how this goes. But I think get the brooms out tonight. It's that bad. Let me tell you what the score is right now. Suns up already. I mean, it's 11-6, but Suns are up It's already almost a wrap. Aaron Gordon starting the game with a turnover. Good job, Aaron. You're a good man. Jesus Christ. It's sad. It's sad for Denver. I'm not a Denver fan, but it's sad. The MVP not even going to make it to the conference finals. Fuck, man. Fuck. You know, the NBA's got to be pissed, huh? NBA's been like, fuck this. Well, fuck, at least we got Chris Paul there. Don't be surprised, though. The Suns make it all the way. Actually, don't be surprised if the Suns win the chip. Well, you know, and I'll tell you why right now. If Devin Booker makes it to the conference finals, makes it to the NBA finals, none of the conference favorites right now. So, and this is under the assumption that Philly and the Bucks are the two teams in the East. This is under that assumption. If that's the case, there isn't a shooting guard on the that can even touch Booker. None. There isn't. I don't know, neither on the Bucks nor the Sixers. There's not. And there's not a point guard on neither team that's going to be able to mess with Chris Paul. And then, so once you start taking that away, you're going to have to go to the matchups. Ayton can probably beat his matchup with Lopez. You know, if we're talking Bucks, Giannis is going to be Giannis. And then that leaves whoever's playing the small forward. I don't know who that is. I don't remember. And on the Sixers side, you got Simmons and Embiid and Tobias. And that's going to leave some issues. That's going to be something, I don't know. I couldn't tell you how this is going to go down. But the Suns might just be on their way. The Suns might just find a way to make this shit pop, yo. If they sweep it, I feel sorry for whoever they play. Whether it's the Clippers, or whether it's the Jazz, I don't think that those teams have enough firepower. Because what you going to do? You're going to put Kawhi on – you're going to have to put Kawhi or George on Chris Paul because Reggie Jackson ain't stopping Chris Paul. Playoff P is not messing with Booker by any stretch of the word. Kawhi's going to own what matchup because Kawhi is 10 times better than Bridges. Kawhi is – they can bring off the bench. They can is better whoever they got on the bench. That center position, Ayton. It's a wrap. Ayton's going to kill him. Zubac's or Batum. And that's not saying that they're bad. It's just that the talent level difference. That talent level difference is something else. I couldn't tell you how this is going to go down. So if it goes down the way that it's supposed to, though, then we're looking at a Suns-Clippers conference final. Or could it be Suns-Jazz? If they find a way to stop, figure out the Batum situation with Gobert. It could be Suns Jazz. And then we could be seeing Bucks. We're going to be seeing Bucks Sixers if there's no Harden or no Kyrie. It's going to be all bad. I don't know. I wish I knew, but it's going to be something. All right. So, next on the docket, we got to talk about this Aaron Rodgers saga, yo. Things are getting crazy in Aaron Rodgers land. I don't know if you know about the whole story, but we're going to break everything down from the beginning to the end. Also, there's some other little stories in the NFL that we're going to talk about, but mainly the Aaron Rodgers situation. So you know how we do. We got to pay these damn bills, yo. So please listen to the commercial. Pay the bills. So we are... 2 months? 2 months until the NFL season. And usually things don't start coming to full circle until, I don't know, July, when they start talking about preseason rosters and training camps and all that jazz. And there's been a lingering story that's been out there for a little while. No, I'm not talking about that man, Deshaun Watson. No. There's an even bigger story out. Which is kind of flying under the radar because the thoughts around the league are, oh, he'll be back. Oh, he'll report. He'll be in the building. Don't worry about it. And everybody thought everything was fine until he didn't show up to mandatory OTAs. That man I am talking about is that bad man, as Stephen A. Smith would like to tell you. That bad man, Aaron freaking Rodgers. For those that have been living under a rock, Aaron Rodgers has decided that he says, and I quote, "I am not coming back to the Green Bay Packers." Why is that, you ask? Why is this? We talked about this last year in the conference championship. We talked about this, and I said that the Green Bay Packers were the worst 3-13 team in history. And people laughed at me. They're like, "You don't know shit. You don't know what you're talking about." And then proceeded to get their asses handed to them by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the future champ Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I said this, and I said that they don't have enough to beat Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay was a top 10 defense. They had no receivers that they can go around and beat Tampa Bay's corners or Tampa Bay's schemes. They didn't have enough of a decent running game to offset the fact to make Aaron Rodgers not have to throw it as much. Aaron Rodgers is going to have to throw at minimum 30, possibly 40 times. I said this, and people are like, "No, you're wrong, Hollywood. This ain't gonna go through. I don't know what you're talking about, man. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers." I said, the organization has failed Aaron Rodgers. They failed him. You can sit here and bullshit yourself all you want to, but the fact of the matter is that they failed Aaron Rodgers. The Green Bay Packers failed Aaron Rodgers. I'm gonna take my medicine. Give me a second. How did they fail him, you ask? You said, what did they do? It's not what they did, son. It's what they didn't do. What they didn't do is put a good team behind them. What they didn't do is, instead of drafting a number one wide receiver, they drafted cornerbacks. They drafted a quarterback. Excuse me. What they didn't do is, in the whole entire draft, they didn't draft near one receiver. Well, Aaron Rodgers got this. No big deal, right? So not only did they not set themselves up for the present, they didn't set themselves up for the future either. If you really, really ask me, I'm quick to tell you that more than likely, I don't think the Packers really wanted to win the division last year. If you really ask me, I don't really think that the Packers didn't want to get as far as they did. But it just so happens that the baddest man in the building, baddest man in the conference, yeah, I said it, because let's look at who's in your conference. Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota, and Green Bay. We all know who the best quarterback in that conference is, even at the ripe age of 30-something years old. We all know that your man's, the coach, LaFleur, is so was the most superior coach in that division. And yet somehow, some way, with the lack of talent, that's right, I said it, a lack of talent, they somehow, some way ended up steamrolling the division. They somehow, some way ended up kicking some ass. They somehow, some way ended up making it to the NFC Championship. And they were the worst team with their record in football. Basically, they just ran back the year before when they got steamrolled by the 49ers. And Aaron Rodgers has enough. I got to look at the draft. Did Green Bay draft a wide receiver this year? Let's fucking check this out, yo. Did Green Bay Green Bay draft picks. This is who they drafted. They drafted Amari Rodgers in the third round. They drafted, let me tell you, they had 10 draft picks this year. They drafted Amari Rodgers, and that was it. That was it. That's the only wide receiver they drafted. They got a new center in the second round, offensive tackle in the fourth round, offensive tackle in the sixth round. Who knows if half these players going to make the team? They did Aaron Rodgers absolutely no favors whatsoever. Do you blame Aaron Rodgers for being like, fuck this? It's all part of the player empowerment movement started by, you guessed it, LeBrizzle Jizzle, LeBron James. I know everybody, you blaming LeBron James for football? Yes. Player empowerment. The reality is that the Packers without Aaron Rodgers are the worst team in football. They are. They are. They're worse. I would be deaf to say that they're worse than the Texans are without Deshaun Watson. I bet you if we had to play 16 games, we simulate 16 games on Madden, and I just threw Aaron Rodgers into the oblivion, threw Deshaun Watson into the oblivion. Nobody can sign him. The Packers go 3-13. The Texans might win 5 games. I'm willing to bet that. I'm willing to bet that because I believe that the Texans are smart enough to want to draft a quarterback that's at least serviceable for most of the season. Not draft, but sign a quarterback that's serviceable for most of the season. Excuse me. The Packers aren't. They have Jordan Love. They're going to roll with Jordan Love, and Jordan Love's going to die. Poor kid. He didn't deserve this. And they drafted him in the first round. He didn't deserve to go out like this. I initially thought they were talking about trading Jordan Love, too, to make Aaron Rodgers happy. And that trade just never happened. So, and that was back in February, mid-February. So we knew, March. So we've known how long Aaron Rodgers has been unhappy for the last 3 months. Been ridiculously unhappy. And yet we want to sit here and say, oh, Aaron Rodgers. He's going to come. No, he's not. He's not. Let me tell you what I do, though, if I'm Green Bay. See, people got to understand. Like, I would literally cut him. Fuck it, you're trying to lose anyway, cut him. Oh, we're going to get hit with a cap hit. It don't matter. You're going to keep him on the you're going to have a cap hit if he stays on the roster. Cut him. Or trade them for like a third or fourth round draft pick. Trade them to New England. Get Cam Newton out the deal. Or I even got one better for you. Trade them to San Francisco. And I would be like, oh, Hollywood, you're a 49ers fan. I know. But with all the drama surrounding Jimmy Garoppolo, that's probably the best straight trade. Garoppolo, Rodgers. Both have contracts that expire in 2 years. Done. Maybe 3. Done. I know Garoppolo's is 2. He's got an opt-in or something like that. And he has a no trade clause. But listen. Garoppolo to Green Bay. Jimmy G don't like the cold. You don't heal well in the cold. So I don't know. Where else can you send him? New Orleans? Nice and hot down there. You could trade them to the Niners could trade them to the Texans, but the Texans ain't got no draft picks left. Let's see, who else? Aaron Rodgers. Where could Aaron Rodgers go? Denver? And you know, that's cold, but that's a different type of cold. That's fuck all cold. How about the Dallas for Dak Prescott? That might be an interesting one. Straight trade. Solves 2 problems. Listen. things are getting crazy in the NFL right now. People don't realize what's going on quarterback-wise. We saw Justin Herbert put up elite numbers last year in Los Angeles for the Chargers. Matthew Stafford is on the Rams now. Russell Wilson has a chip on his shoulder. I know Jimmy Garoppolo got a chip on his shoulder. Dak Prescott's playing for some dough. Lions ain't doing nothing this year. Minnesota's just got Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook, and then fuck all. That's it. The Bears looked the best out of everyone. They drafted themselves a little squiddy squad, but they're not going to be as good as they was last year in the Trubisky. Although I really think that their coach should have been fired, dead honest with you. Let me see. Is Mitch still in, what you call him? Is he still there? Mitchell Plick is backing up Buffalo. Well, wait a minute. I know you think you think what you call him is going to start the rookie? You think Chicago's going to start the rookie? I don't know if they're going to start the rookie. They're going to start Fields? I don't know about that one. So right now, this is literally, like, legit. Like, this is the window. This was the window. The Green Bay window of success is closed. We're now looking at those years where Don Majkowski fell off. Right before they got Brett Favre in the trade. It's looking bad. Jordan Love is no Brett Favre. It's looking real bad in Green Bay right now. And somebody needs to get on their knees and start sucking some. Better start doing that shit. Listen. Because niggas, they need some apologies. They need to send everything they got to my man Aaron Rodgers to get him to stay. They didn't even get Julio Jones to appease this man. No Julio Jones. Oh, my God. He's in B-more now. No, he's in Tennessee. Excuse me, I said B-more. That's where he really should have went, was Baltimore. Although Baltimore is where receivers go to die thanks to the way that they run their offense. Speaking of which, do you know why Baltimore? I can tell you why Baltimore hasn't really won too much. They're running the exact same offense under Jim Harbaugh. Same offensive coordinator. They're running the same offense that they did with Jim Harbaugh and Colin Kaepernick. That's why they haven't won. It's because there's a whole ass blueprint out there. The only difference is that between Lamar Jackson and Colin Kaepernick, Lamar Jackson is a better athlete. Hands down, a better athlete than Colin Kaepernick. But I feel like they don't have enough talent at the receiver level because they can't attract free agents there because Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is like the Ravens are known. And I will say also the Ravens' reputation. The Ravens aren't known as this this passing, like high-flying team. They've never been that. They won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer. That's all you need to know about the reputation of the Baltimore Ravens. Even in Joe Flacco's best season, they weren't a passing team. And yet, somehow, some way, we have they can't attract free agents. They just can't. There's no way for them to. There's no incentive for a free agent to basically reduce his stats and collect the check and run up and down the field. But Lamar Jackson's going to carry it all the way up the field. You're going to need, like, quick receivers. You can't get no veterans. You're going to have to get, like, a bunch of Steve Smiths out there. And then one big-ass dude, like a Megatron. That's the only way that the Baltimore Ravens passing attack is going to be good. And that's why they couldn't attract a guy like Julio Jones. But in Tennessee, Tennessee just, I think they just got themselves the AFC South Championship at the bare minimum. At the bare minimum. It's real in the field out there. The reality of the situation is that with this signing, they have him and AJ Brown. They have a great tight end out there. You already know they got my man's, you know, running that damn ball. Jesus, it's about to go down in Tennessee. I'm so bad with names. I know his name and I know who he is. I'm just bad with names. But you know, when I talk about that bad man running back down in Tennessee, blame it on the bullet I took to the back of the head for my memory. My bad. It's just, but my man's Ryan Tannehill. He has some security now. This is probably the best receiving core and running back group that he's had in the history of ever. We were writing off Ryan Tannehill 2 years ago. We were like, oh, he's backing up Marcus Mariota. This is pretty much the end of his career because the future was Mariota, right? Wasn't that the future? And look what happened. How the future changes. So that's just the way the world works, son. Meanwhile, but back to what I was saying about Aaron Rodgers is that now, so we already talked about the North, the AFC South, I mean the NFC South, Tampa. New Orleans is trying to retool and trying to make some shit work. They even using Jameis Winston's in the rotation now. We have, I forget, be forgetting who's in the South. Jesus Christ, my brain's just a Atlanta. Oh, Kevin, Atlanta just sold they just sold Julio Jones. They really should have just traded Matt Ryan at this point and got him to a team that he can feel comfortable with a good running back and somebody not named Kyle Shanahan running the offense. Who else is in the South? I'm horrible. I'm really good. Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Atlanta, Carolina. Carolina ain't doing nothing this year. This Carolina is going to be a bottom feeding team for at least the next 2-3 years minimum. Just call Carolina the old Cleveland Browns for the next 2 or 3 years. It's a wrap. But then you have we did the North, we did the West, did the South, we had the East. I mean, the East, one of those teams probably go 6-10 again when the division get knocked out in the first round. It doesn't matter if it's the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Giants, or the Washington football team. That they haven't gotten any better. Maybe the Eagles, maybe the Eagles actually win the division this time. The Cowboys have no defense to speak of. None. Still. And their best player, Sean Lee. It's crazy that your best player, who's had multiple surgeries, concussions and all kinds of shit happened to him, and he's still your best player on your defense. And people going to be like, well, what about the Cowboys line? No, Sean Lee was, and he retired. Sorry. Y'all Cowboys fans going to be mad all you want to. I don't care. Don't matter to me none. But Aaron Rodgers is looking like they could have ate this year. If they would have added a receiver, if they would have added a Julio Jones, went to free agency, added a couple more players, surrounded them with Davante Adams, the Packers would have been absolutely bonkers, unfrickin' stoppable. And they didn't. They blew it. Their draft choices tell me that they're not trying to win at all. Their demeanor about said draft choices tell me they're not trying to win at all. They're not even trying to win some. Shit, I bet you if they could have went 1-15, Aaron Rodgers got hurt, I bet you they probably would have been like cool with it because then they could have drafted Jordan Love. I mean, not Jordan Love. They could have drafted Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or Trey Lance. Or somebody. Packers never have good luck with. I mean, they have good luck with QBs, and I think that the one time that they actually drafted Aaron Rodgers was like, that shit fell on their lap, because Aaron Rodgers was supposed to go to San Francisco. Not everybody knows that, but that is the absolute truth. But now we're at a point where Aaron Rodgers, he said he's not going to show up. He's not. He's really not. And I really hope they trade him, because he'll probably just retire, collect his money, and then be done. Can't find him. I retired. Fuck it. Why play for an organization that doesn't value you as a quarterback? How do you not value Aaron Rodgers after all he sacrificed for you? After all Aaron Rodgers has given to the city of Green Bay and the organization and his teammates, multiple collarbone surgeries, countless injuries here and there, the comebacks, the heart that this man showed. How do you tell me that after all that Aaron Rodgers has done for the organization of the Green Bay Football Packers, do you say, nah, we're cool. Don't show up. No, you can't. I mean, they are, but you can't. What is going on in Green Bay, man? What is going on? Just trade him. Like I said, just trade him. Trade him somewhere he's warm. Shit. If you really want to spite his ass, trade him to Houston. For Deshaun Watson, and have Deshaun Watson, once he figure out his allegations, after he does an 8-week suspension, back on the field, helps the Packers go 8-8. Hey, I'm cool with it. Because they really ain't going nowhere. Packers ain't doing a damn thing. They're not. Not without Aaron Rodgers, I mean. This should have been the season. They should have got Julio Jones, and it would have been a wrap. That's it. Because Aaron Rodgers is going to get you that damn ball. Better catch that sumbitch. I'll tell you that right now. But that's, man, I could tell, like, I'm just sitting here and just looking at the landscape. This was the year. If any year that they should have gotten Julio Jones, with as many young passers that there are, and now even young defenses, this was the year for the veteran Aaron Rodgers to try and get one up on Tom Brady. I don't think Tom Brady's going to win another Super Bowl, although they're probably going to try and run it back. At least I thought that if Aaron Rodgers was going to be in Green Bay. Now this time, it's either going to be Tampa Bay or a retooled San Francisco team, because my man's Jimmy Garoppolo is playing for his next contract. He's playing for that new Supermax. 200. He saw that that Mahomes money, and he's like, I need a piece of that. I need half of that. I need me a little piece, you know what I'm saying? Give me like 50-50 of that. Give me like 5 years and then like 150 million, some shit like that. Give me some. This is probably going to be a Jimmy Garoppolo MVP season. If he doesn't get hurt. I told you, he's playing for big money now from San Francisco or from somebody that's willing to pay it. I'm just saying. And now, I said, Russell Wilson, I mean, that's it. Seattle's in shambles because the chip on the shoulder from Russ. Matt Stafford is in the Rams. That's probably not going to go well. The Cardinals are still a threat. They may make the playoffs this year. The East, the North is in disarray now. Chicago might go 8-8 with Justin Fields as a rookie. There's some growing pains. The reality is that Chicago isn't as talented as we like to think with Justin Fields going there. They really should have added some free agent talent, signed some big money. I don't know, though. I know I keep saying I don't know, but I don't know. I don't know about this whole situation. It's just looking kind of with this Aaron Rodgers thing, man. Again, they just need to trade him. Trade him somewhere. Trade him to New York. Either the Giants or the Jets. Don't matter. Dolphins ain't going to take him, although that'd be a nice little place for him to go. Trade him for Tua. That'd be messed up for Tua, though. Like, fuck you. Fuck you, Tua, you asshole. Shit, trade him for Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's ready to go 8-8, 9-7. Who knows? And there's really not many other places. That's it. Raiders don't want him. They're fully invested in Derek Carr. It's going to take a hell of a thing to get Derek Carr. Although, Aaron Rodgers in Vegas? That might be something nasty. With that running back core and that receiving core? Young and hungry? And Gruden? Gruden, oh, man. Gruden will put Aaron Rodgers in a position to win. That'll be an MVP. He had Brad Johnson balling. You'd already know that Gruden is gonna get his money. He's going to find a way to get Aaron Rodgers 5,000 yards, fucking 50 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and at least the Super Bowl, possibly against Tampa Bay. You know he'd do it. He will freaking do it. Trade it for Derek Carr. I can see it. I can see it well. And I think that's really it. That's really it of where you would send them. Because San Diego's invested in their rook. Maybe, like I said, Denver, their quarterback situation is, who knows? They got Locke and then the rookie, but who knows? Who else is there? Kansas City, Mahomes. That's end of story. That's done. The South, we already talked about the AFC South. There ain't no room over there. Indianapolis is vested. They got Carson Wentz. Tannehill. Let's see. The Colts. We said Wentz. Tannehill. Whatever the frick is happening in Houston. I'm just looking at it, just thinking about it. Tennessee Titans. Yeah, Tennessee Colts. Texans. Am I forgetting the team? I know I'm forgetting the team. It's always four teams. Tennessee, Colts, the Texans. I'm forgetting somebody. I know I'm forgetting somebody. Jacksonville. Jacksonville got, what you call them? It's not hard to forget about Jacksonville unless we're having a Tim Tebow conversation. In the North, Big Ben's still there for a couple years. And I mean, they're around the same age. Almost around the same time frame of retirement. Baker Mayfield's in Cleveland. You have Joe Burrow's going to be back. Baltimore, Lamar Jackson's still there. East, New England, they got a rookie and they got Cam Newton. The Jets is like Sam Darnold or fuck all. Miami, they got Tua. And Buffalo got two quarterbacks. They got Josh Allen and on the bench, Mitchell Trubisky. And I know people are going to laugh. I'm like, oh, it's Mitchell Trubisky. But, yeah. But they got somebody that can mostly replace what he does in case he goes down. Sometimes you need that in life. The Packers really screwed this one up, man. Let's say a prayer for the end of the era. End of an era, Green Bay Packers. Here's a toast. Salud, bitches. All right. Well, that's the end of the podcast. I know I didn't really have much to talk about. NBA action. Oh, yes, by the way, I did talk about the sweep. Sweep is done. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. We have game 4 tonight with the Clippers and the – oh, my goodness. I told you, my memory is bad. That's what happens when you get shot in the back of the head. Game 4 with the Clippers. And the Jazz. It's hard to forget the Jazz. Not really. It's not hard. Well, we got game 4 also. I think that game's almost also done. It'll be done in about a half hour. So, until next time, we'll see you next Monday, y'all. Holla at your boy. Deuces.